When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh. Hello. Can you hear me? Mike, can you hear me? Ugh. I don't know why. Can't. Less and less with this guy. I'm already ready. Mike, bring the boxes in. I'm packing this stuff up. I got the receipts in an envelope. Tomorrow I'll be back at Sam Goody. Yeah, I need to return all of this stuff. $170,000 worth of audio equipment. I need to return all of it. Guys, I got some good news, and I got some great news. Which do you want first? The good news is, the best show is back on the air. The great news is, the best show is back on the air now. Can you believe it? It's like a Christmas miracle. Well, my friends, without further ado, I give you the best show. How about that? Can you hear me, Mike? Loud and clear? Everybody, welcome back to The Best Show here at thebestshow.net. We are a... What are we? A sovereign nation? Something like that? Not a part of anything. We're free. Free. Ain't got no parent company. We don't have Pillsbury telling us what to do. All right, how are we sounding? Should I be a little louder? Maybe I got to talk actually at the mic. That might help.
How about that?
That's better. Guys, the phone number, 201-332-3484. That's the number if you want to get in on the action and call The Best Show. We have an exciting show planned for you tonight. All kinds of fun. Do we have fun? I don't know what we have planned. I don't think there's a lot of fun lined up, actually. People want it louder.
Louder.
I'm going to move this windscreen closer. And then I'll be louder. All right, guys. If you're getting an echo, what you do is just hit pause or hit refresh, and your echo problems should vanish. Just like the wind itself. Again, the phone number, 201-332-3484. What music did we hear? We heard The Suite with Action from their collection called Action, The Suite Anthology. And you know what's crazy about that? It's a pretty sweet anthology. The Suite Anthology is a pretty sweet anthology. I think I just made the sticker for the new reissue of this, box, two CD set.
Yeah.
Before that, we heard Fuzz from a 7-inch, a split 7-inch on the, Famous Class label, a 7-inch they share with CCR Head Cleaner. A couple people saying they lost the stream. But they can hear it a live stream. Hang tight, guys. So this single, they've got their cover of Till the End of the Day, the Kinks song. Fuzz doing that. Fuzz featuring Ty Siegel on drums, not on guitar. And this single was given to me by Omar, the Scrivener. You know Omar, the young man who kept the books for The Best Show in its previous iteration over at WFMU before we were a sovereign nation. He sent me this single when the show ended. He said, "Here you go." In a very babe-like way, he said, "That'll do, pig. Here's a split 7-inch for you on colored vinyl." And to be fair, I didn't play it for a long time. I let it sit on my shelf. Then I took it down, I played it, and what fell out of it, in addition to a single, some cards, some trading cards. What the kids in the neighborhood used to call bubblegum cards. One of them is of a player named Kent Tekelvey, who looks like he's on the Pirates. He's a pitcher for the Pirates. And Kent Tekelvey has a look that's kind of like, I don't know how you would describe this. He's got like a Bernie Getz vibe. Got like a Bernie Getz vibe off this guy. Like the kind of guy who you'd be on the team with him. And I'm not going to put down Kent Tekelvey. I'm going to say, but Kent brings to mind the type of guy who would never shower with the team.
He'd, like, leave wearing his Pirates uniform. Like, walk right to the bus in his game-worn uniform. Hey, Kent, you going to wash up?
Nah, I'm going to go on the bus.
Got some stuff to take care of. I'm going to read this issue. I got the new issue of Soldier of Fortune. Want to read the classifieds for that. So, yes, Kent Tekelvey. Then there's a card for Bake McBride, who you might know was a Phillies outfielder and has one of the most amazing afros going. Very impressive. Bake McBride. And then there's a card. Yes, that's right. I don't know. I doubt this is a rookie card because he's wearing his Panama hat in it. But there's a Mickey Dolenz trading card in here. Mickey Dolenz from the Donruss Americana collectible set. And collectible, I'm going to say, is a... Collectible is like saying all natural. You just can mean anything. Collectible. I can say it's a buyer's market for the Donruss Americana set. Mickey Dolenz. Mickey Dolenz became the drummer and lead singer for the Monkees, even though he was not a drummer at the time, and needed lessons just to create the illusion he was playing. The Circus Boys star eventually got the hang of percussions. But it's his vocals that really stand out in hits like Last Train to Clarksville and I'm a Believer. So I have right now a Mickey Dolenz card. I wonder if this is a rookie card. Because it's like there was a year with basketball cards. Because basketball went through a period in the early 80s. No one cared. And then there was one season where they finally started making basketball cards again. And suddenly every card was like a rookie card for everyone. Because they hadn't made cards in years. Yeah, somebody just put the 85 tops. Somebody found the Kent Tekelvey card. No, that's not the one. Sorry, friend. My friend Bling Crosby over on Twitter put up a picture of Kent Tekelvey. It is a card. The picture is I'm holding an 81. I've got an 81 tops Kent Tekelvey card here. So it's good to know Kent held that look for 4 years. Strangely timeless. He's got that timeless quality that only a creepy looking dude can have. Aviator shades go a long way toward shaving off years of your life. So yes, as I was saying, fuzz till the end of the day. That was a nice little scenic route on that one. Before Fuzz, we heard The Moving Sidewalks with an alternate version of their version of I Want to Hold Your Hand, which there's no way that that's not the better version of the song, right, Mike? It's a good version. But look, the Beatles' version's really good. I'm going to say that. I'll say the Beatles' version's good. It's great. Beatles' version is great. But this Moving Sidewalks version, that's heavy stuff, man. They ain't messing around there. They can crack it open. Let the Beatles do their stiff version. Not some of this Texas psych trash can do their trashy version. This is Billy Gibbons from the future band ZZ Top. This was his first band, Moving Sidewalks. Before that, we heard Destroyer. We heard the song New Ways of Living from the Notorious Lightning EP. Is that an EP? I think it's an EP.
Destroyer. It's on Merge. It's on Merge, man.
And starting us off, we heard the Knots, or just Knots. How about that? This album, the they were so great at Goner Fest back in September. Knots. And they've got their album's finally out now. We Are Knots.
So good.
It's on Goner. Don't dawdle on this, man. Strange Rage was the name of the song. I'm telling you, this is a hot record. This is one of the top records of 2014. Knots. What's that, Mike?
With an A or just
N? With an N. Knots, yeah. What are you? You're not going to buy it. Why do I mean, it's theoretical with this guy.
Is that what?
Like he's got a pad out there writing it down. He's out there writing, from Amazon. No. You know what Mike buys? Mike buys his basement tapes thing. He could listen to all those clowns sing their nursery rhymes. I'll say this. Look, I love Bob Dylan. Love him. That basement tapes is the worst thing he ever did. I'd rather listen to Knocked Out, Loaded, or that new shuffling blues that he does.
No, things have changed. No.
The song he did about the Titanic. I'd rather hear that than those clowns in the basement singing their version of nursery rhymes. But there's characters in it. Oh, well, excuse me. Characters. Oh, they created characters? Oh, no, you get to hear... It is who I like in the band. I think Leavon Helm is great. He's got a great voice. He's got a great spirit. Really like Leavon Helm. The other dude, bass player, he's the one who's like, Crazy Chester, right? That him? He's the bass player? Who's that?
Rick Danko.
I like his voice, but they use him sparingly, right? Those other ones, man, Robbie Robertson, I wouldn't pay a nickel to see that guy in person. I think I like all the band except Robbie Robertson, actually. But the basement tapes, I don't get it. I've tried. You talk about trying and trying your whole life. That's something I went back to again and again. I can't make heads or tails of it. That does not speak to me at all. Basement tapes. I try. Do you like it? I read these people saying it's the greatest Americana thing they've ever heard. What? I don't know. Maybe I'm not into Americana. The only Americana I might be into is this Mickey Dolenz thing. What was that? Don Russ, the Americana series? Careful with this card, Tom. Careful. Don't ding it. Don't ding the edges. The Don Russ Americana series. I can only imagine what other people... If Mickey Dolenz is in this set... Who else is in this? Robert Blake? Get a Robert Blake rookie card? And what did we hear at the beginning of the show? Why? We're hearing two things I want to tell you about. Right now, you're hearing the bed music. It's called Green Room Blues. It's by the Theme Weavers. The Theme Weavers who did our previous theme music for the show. So, they did this. Very exciting. Love it. And at the top, we heard Mr. and Mrs. Paycheck doing their updated Best Show theme. I love it. Now you know we're getting another piece shows up every week. New piece. Get a new piece here, get a new piece there. Before you know it, the show's back. You turn around, it's back. All the way back. And look, guys, I'm going to just tell you this. You wanna support the show? We're not doing a paywall. We're not doing nothing with that. None of that stuff. You don't have to pay to get in. You hear it just on your computer at thebestshow.net, or on your iPod, or your iPad, or your iPhone, or any device you choose to listen to the show in podcast form. This is what you got to do to help the show out. You listen to it. Just come and listen to it. That helps. Come and listen to it. Then tell people that the show's back and that they should listen to it. I get these people. I ran into three people over the weekend.
So what's been going on lately?
Getting ready to do we're doing the best show again. What?
You're doing the show again?
Yeah, I'm doing the show again. You didn't know I'm doing the show again? Yeah, been working on it for a while. So, yeah, tell people the show's back. There's a lot of people who don't know it's back yet. And tell them where they hear it. And other people, well, where are you on the WFMU schedule? I'm not. Do you remember when I... Remember the farewell tour I was on? 2013, we all said goodbye? That was not me saying, hey, I'll be back in a little bit, taking a little breather. No, carving our own path, man. Sovereign nation. So, tell people the show's back. That's what you can do. You listen, and you tell people to listen, and you subscribe to the podcast wherever you can subscribe to a podcast. Whether you subscribe over at iTunes or on an RSS feed, whatever those are, and you just subscribe. And you want to support the show, other ways to support it. You can sign up for the mailing list. We got a mailing list over at thebestshow.net. You sign up at the mailing list. You can buy stuff over at stereolaughs.com. You can buy the Sharpling and Worcester box set at numerogroup.com. Comes out in March, one of the greatest things I've ever been a part of. Got that. All kinds of stuff. Buy our t-shirts. That's how you help out. Guys, let's go to the phones. I know people want me to talk about certain things. I tell you, you know what I would be set. If I had a nickel, not a nickel, if I had $10... If I had $10 for every time, for last week, if I had $10 for everyone who told me to read the Billy Crystal, this Billy Crystal is insane. He wrote this script, basically, about what it's like if Robin Williams goes to heaven, which is one of the most troubling things I read just 10 seconds worth of it, and I was just like, yeah, this is unsettling. This dude is, it's the wheels are coming off the Billy Crystal mobile with that. Because he basically wrote a script about him, Robin Williams going to heaven. Let's see. All right. Fine. Where is it? Billy Crystal, this Entertainment Weekly has this. Billy Crystal's touching tribute to Robin Williams, a script of his friend's first night in heaven. I'm not the one making fun of anything here. This dude served this up for everybody. Is it a horrible thing Robin Williams is? Of course it's horrible he died. But this guy's a friend of his and he's doing this. He's basically writing fan fiction about his friend. Interior nightclub. Should I do it in Billy Crystal's voice? Interior nightclub. beautifully decorated. No, I can't even do that. I'll punch myself if I have to hear that sound. Interior nightclub, beautifully decorated. A celestial theme dominates. The ceiling is a mass of twinkling stars. The room is jammed. Anybody who was anybody is there, filling tables and banquettes and a balcony. Waiters and waitresses with small wings scurry to tables bringing libations. Excitement, anticipation, the lights dim. The crowd goes crazy. Drum roll. Don Pardo voiceover. So this guy, Don Pardo, this guy's barely cold. And Billy Crystal's writing him into his little ghoul play here. Don Pardo voiceover.
Please welcome to the big room, making his heavenly debut, Robin Williams!
Huge ovation from the enormous crowd that seems to go on forever. A spotlight finds Robin as he enters. He strikes many poses as he runs across the stage, at times grabbing himself. He looks at the enormous crowd. So basically, Robin Williams is doing his stand-up act.
Oh, my. Please stop hovering and sit down. Amazing! It's Woodstock with wings!
In a child's voice.
I don't think I'm in Kansas anymore.
As John Wayne.
Well, pilgrims, as the frontier gynecologist said to the pretty...
I can't do... Like, I'm not going to read. This isn't even a Robin Williams joke. This is a Billy Crystal. So he writes his play. Lincoln is now laughing it up. I'm going to skim it. Lincoln's laughing it up. Burt Lancaster's in it.
Man, when Burt Lancaster gets laughs, it must be heaven. I know what you're thinking, Burt, but Kurt isn't ready yet.
That's gruesome. That's terrible. So Kirk Douglas isn't ready yet. So, okay, let's see. Who else is here? You got to be kidding me. I swear to you, Anne Frank is in this thing. I am not joking. Anne Frank is in it. This is Robin. It's Billy Crystal. You know what this tells me? He hated Robin Williams. He hated him. This tells me Billy Crystal hated Robin Williams. For him to get to this point and write this thing of just mocking him in death like this. Got Jonathan Winters is in it. Ed McMahon, Johnny Carson. Who else is in it? Who else? Okay, Richard Pryor is in it. Oh, boy. What a slap in the face to his friend. Can you imagine doing this to your friend? This is sick. This is a sick man. It's Billy Crystal. He's sick. How can you do that you're supposed to love this guy. Now who writes fan fiction about their friends, too? Look, I'd write fan fiction about AP Mike, admittedly, if I could think of a story that could, wait, I actually have. Yeah, wait. Okay, well, I know one person who did me. No, but you're still here, Mike. That's the whole thing. And first of all, you're going to outlive me. The stage has been set for that, definitely. I'm going to keel over. No, I keel over, and then Mike is the one who keeps the flame alive. He'll be using this equipment. Oh, Mike, they're throwing this equipment in with the casket with me. Throwing all this stuff. Throw it all in the casket. I don't want Mike coming anywhere near this board. It ain't happening. You stay away, Mike. Mike will be at the funeral. The wake. No, he'll be at the funeral. Be like, hey, any chance I could get that board out of there? I think there's a Mac Mini in there. Can I, you mind if I get my hands on that Mac Mini? Those aren't cheap. So yeah. So look, if I had $5 for everybody, every week there's a couple things I get sent that everybody knows I will flip out over. And you know, the thing is, they're right. They got me pegged. The Billy Crystal thing, everybody sent that same day. Sunday, I woke up not unlike the way I start my morning with a cup of Folgers. Is that even coffee? What is that? That's like freeze-dried, right? Something? I woke up to the Folgers, the Paul Stanley Folgers song. Everybody sending that. And then today, the Entourage trailer came out. People know me too. The thing is, people know me. They got me pegged. You got me pegged. You know these are the things I like. But the one thing I need to tell you, I'm not done with. I want you to hear. Remember we were talking about Ringo Starr going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? This Ringo Starr, he's going in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I feel is fraudulent to put this guy in. He did not earn that at all. This guy wrote his novelty songs. You should put Dickie Goodman in if you're going to put him in. Induct Ringo Starr and Dickie Goodman on the same night. Get the all-star band up there. Get Green Day jamming out on Mr. Jaws. Pay tribute to Dickie Goodman.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
Says Ringo Starr, because he's in with the Beatles. But then like, they need to have him in individually also, which, look, of course he should be in there with the Beatles. But individually, what is that? So, here. If you need more proof about how fraudulent this is Paul McCartney on the Jimmy Fallon show talking about Ringo Starr getting in the Hall of Fame. Listen to how Paul McCartney can barely convince himself that he belongs in the Hall of Fame, that Ringo Starr belongs. Listen to this.
Starr is getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Finally. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's the last Beatle to be inducted, right?
That's right, yeah.
He's not been inducted.
Well, I was talking to a friend, and he said, did you hear that Brian Epstein's getting inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Okay, Brian Epstein's getting in because they put, like, behind-the-scenes people in every once in a while, which I guess they should. So, Brian Epstein's getting in.
So, that's great, because he was the Beatles' manager. I said, that's great. He said, yeah, but Ringo's not in yet. I said, whoa, wait a minute, we can't have that.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Not really.
It doesn't. That's crazy.
I mean, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you've got to put Ringo in.
I mean, he's rock and roll all the way.
Absolutely. He's very famous.
Exactly.
Oh, this guy, Paul McCartney knows this dude does not belong in there on merit.
You got to put Ringo in. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's very famous.
What? Okay, he's very famous. He's famous, yeah.
Very famous. Ringo's very famous, yeah. Do you have a favorite Ringo solo?
I like Back Off Boogaloo.
Oh, yeah, that's a fun one.
Don't
Come Easy is good. Is he the first Beatle to come out with, like, hit after hit really fast?
Yeah, well, that's not true. I think you might want to check All Things Must Pass for the Beatle that came out with hit after hit right out of the box also.
I don't hold that against you.
But, I mean, that's odd. Do you everyone has kind of a Ringo impression?
Oh, I can't do that part of it. Okay. The impressions. But, yeah, look, this Paul McCartney knows it's a fraud to have this guy in there. He knows that Ringo Starr doesn't belong. He can name two songs. Two. It's like, name your two favorite Ringo Starr songs.
Back Off Boogaloo and It Don't Come Easy.
Okay, well, that takes us up to 1971. All right, what else did he do in the preceding 43 years after that? No. Guy squeezed out a few hits that the other Beatles wrote for him half the time. Oh, it's Ringo Starr. You know who's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Yes. Yes, they're not in. Yes, they're terrible. I know that. They're bad. That's not a good band. But they would pack out places, man. That's rock. They're still rock. They were a huge band. If being famous is the yardstick here, Yes have sold more tickets than Ringo Starr's all-star band. Who I saw 1 year. I saw the first year of that, which was like I guess the best year, where it was Joe Walsh and I think Billy Preston a part of that. Then you look at I think Howard Finster. No, Mark Farner, not Howard Finster. He's the artist, Howard Finster. Yeah, so it was like this. Then the lineup got weird, where it was like Sheila E. and Howard Jones was in it. It just like, yeah, what a, I think he's out there now. I think it's just Ringo Starr and Right Said Fred. I think it's just the two of them. I think they do Back Off Boogaloo, I'm Too Sexy, It Don't Come Easy, I'm Too Sexy, Photograph, I'm Too Sexy, You're 16, I'm Too Sexy, With a Little Help from My Friends, and then a super jam of the no-no song mixed with I'm Too Sexy. Ringo Starr, that's fraudulent, man. The E Street Band is in by themselves. The E Street Band. Like, they got Bruce Springsteen's in, but then like these, like, why do they have to be in too? They back the guy up? Man. But Yes, they're not in. The Roxy Music are not in. Devo are not in. The Monkees are not in. My boys Emerson, Lake, and Palmer are not in. Imagine that. If they got those dudes up there for that final, for like that concert that they do to honor all the bands. Giant drum set. Keith Emerson throwing knives at his keyboards. Greg Lake wearing a cape. Yeah, thank you. I'm looking in the chat right now over at friendsoftom.com. Well, Tad is not in. That's a good point, Wordy Ginters. Tad is not in. Sure, Nirvana are in. Look, Mudhoney should be in instead of Nirvana. Tad are not in. Cat Butt's not in. Swallow's not in. None of those, yeah, why not put the Attractions in? It's a great point. You're going to put Elvis Costello in, put the Attractions in too. What? Yeah, put in Creedence Clearwater Revisited, is what you mean. Are the Cars in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Does anybody know if the Cars are in? Man, Ringo, so you gotta. This is like this is. You know what this is like? That's fame right there. That's when you're famous and then you start to get free things because you're famous, when you don't need free things anymore, but you get them. Ringo Starr now. Gonna show up at the Hall of Fame. Let's bring him up. He had one decent album in his solo album in his entire career that was pretty much shepherded by the other three Beatles. The album Ringo. Yeah, the Cars are not in. That's what somebody's saying. The Cars are not in. How are the Cars not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Ringo Starr's going in? Buku, is he going to play from Buku of Blues up there? Sentimental Journey? Liverpool 8? Stop and Smell the Roses? I'm naming these off the top of my head. Goodnight Vienna? Ringo's Rotogravure? If anything, this guy should go in the Cutout Hall of Fame. I got all these Ringo Starr. I own 9 Ringo Starr albums on vinyl. Total paid probably $11. The Cutout Hall of Fame, Ringo Starr. Goodnight Vienna. Ringo, it's sick, man. It's sick, and you should be ashamed. Best Show, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Tom, it's Jason calling from Long Island City, Queens.
It's Jason from Long Island City, Queens. What's up, Jason?
All right, so, Tom, I don't want to judge anyone based on how they commute. I think commuting is a very personal thing, but I commute by car to work every day, an hour each way. I drive on Woodhaven Boulevard in Queens, and people who drive Atlantic Avenue, Route 3, Jericho Turnpike, any non-interstate highway with intermittent stoplights and volume slowdowns, like, know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when a real piece of work cuts you off, you drive and you want to kind of like confront them. You want to see like what they're doing, what they look like. And that code, sort of like breaking that common code, often leads to confrontations, things like that. Maybe a pig eye, maybe a verbal interaction, not a good idea, of course. But what I've been experiencing lately is that there are people who drive up to you side by side.
Yeah.
With no confrontation. And you just stop for a moment and share a 90-degree head turn towards one another in which, almost on cue, you acknowledge each other's existence. My question, I'm wondering, is this something that's changing in the world?
What's that?
Is this something that's changing? Like, is something, like, actually, like, happening in the world that instead of just sort of, like, looking at each other as motorists, like in a way where we're trying to kind of like prove a point, you know, like show someone that they're not driving well. Instead, we're going to drive and stop together, turn our heads 90 degrees, and just acknowledge each other for a moment.
Uh-huh.
So something deeper going on.
When's the last time this happened to you?
Today. It happened today.
And you were driving, what highway? The BQE?
Woodhaven Boulevard. It runs north-south through Queens. It's a pretty well-traveled boulevard. It's not a highway, but you stop at various lights. So you're gonna drive for about 5 minutes, stop at a stoplight. You got your phone over the phone. You know, just driving in and out of traffic. You know who these people are. You come out of bumper stickers by the time the car leaves on. That's why they call me.
There it is. The seal has been broken on the show. And I would just like to take a moment and say to anybody who said to me, are you worried that when you do the show and it's not on the radio, you're not going to get weirdos calling anymore? We've gotten so many more weirdos calling this show in the last... We've done 4 hours of it so far. And we are so much higher up on the weirdo quotient. Don't worry about that at all. The weirdos. Yeah, if only there were weirdos on the internet. If only the internet had a bunch of weirdos on it who would see a URL go up and check it out. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Allie from Massachusetts.
Who?
Allie from Massachusetts.
Allie, where in Massachusetts are you?
I'm in a town called Gloucester. It's north of Boston.
Okay.
Yeah. How,
well, what's going on, Allie?
This is Tom.
It is Tom.
So exciting.
It is, right?
Yes, very. So I have two questions for you.
Yes.
So my first question is, now that you're not on the radio, are you going to be cursing at all? Or what
no.
is going to be your policy on cursing?
We're trying to run a clean ship here.
Gotcha. Okay. And then my second question is, were you a Twin Peaks fan at all?
I was. I watched it, and then I remembered not liking it after a point. I remember, this is my experience with Twin Peaks. I remember when it started, and I was like, oh, I think that was the best pilot for a TV show I've ever seen in my life. And then I was watching the series. Oh, my goodness, this show is so exciting. And then there was a point where it's like, oh, I don't think I'm interested in this anymore.
Yeah, it got kind of bad in season two, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask you what you thought of it coming back next year. What do you think that's going to be like?
Look, I think they should do what they want to do. If they see a chance to do it, you do it. If it stinks, it stinks. Maybe there's something good in the tank. Who knows?
Who knows? Yep.
Right?
Right. Okay. Well, I guess that was it.
Allie, what are you doing for the holidays?
I am just going to see my family, just going to different places. My dad's house, my mom's house, my cousin's house.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yes.
Well, you enjoy yourself. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Best show, you're on the air. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Keith. I'm calling from, I guess I'm in Richmond tonight.
Keith in Richmond, Virginia.
Yep.
What's going on down in Richmond? How we doing?
I was calling to talk about another Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. I was...
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting caught by the stream. I was out in Maui over the summer and ended up going to Mick Fleetwood's bar, which is a gross place.
What?
It says something that Gene Simmons owns the classier bar on Maui of the two.
So Mick Fleetwood's bar you found to be trashy?
It's trashy by trying not to be. Mm-hmm. Most notably for their menu having a $34,000 hamburger.
Hold on a second. Mick Fleetwood has on his menu a $34,000 hamburger.
Yep, I'm looking at my photo of the menu right now.
And what comes with the $34,000 hamburger? A gold album?
It's the 1 pound burger with bacon.
Oh, okay, well that answers it.
And Mick Fleetwood burger sauce, lettuce, tomato, onions, and Mick Fleetwood's Harley.
So you get a motorcycle with it.
Yes, but if you want cheese, it's an extra dollar.
That sounds like a loophole to sell a motorcycle, like as a hamburger or something. Sounds like he's like doesn't have to pay some like vehicle registration thing, like. I'm just selling hamburgers. I'm selling hamburgers.
What gets me is the upcharge for cheese.
Well, look, that's a joke. I'm sure if you said I'm going to buy the $34,000 hamburger, but you got to throw the cheese in, I think they would do it.
They also wanted $85 to see some bad Beatles cover band, so I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either, man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Man. Best show, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. This is Pay Dirt in Tasmania.
Well, how about that? Welcome back to the family, Pay Dirt.
Welcome back to the best show, Tom. Thank you.
How's it sounding down in Tasmania? We doing all right?
It's sounding pretty good. The show doesn't seem to be coming through on hold anymore, so I've just been, like, ready at literally any second to speak.
Okay. So when you were on hold, you could not hear the show?
I couldn't hear the show. I could just hear white noise for the whole time. But that's all right. It just made me extra prepared.
Yeah. You're ready. You're not resting on your laurels.
Not at all.
So what's going on, Pay Dirt?
I was just calling with a quick story from last week.
Pay Dirt, can I just, one thing just dawned on me, and somebody over here on the chat just brought it home. Not on the chat, on the tweet. They just said that I should not overlook the concept of Mick Fleetwood sauce. Just the idea, Mick Fleetwood burger sauce. Just, I should not just blur past that, the idea that he's got a burger sauce. This is the guy. I couldn't picture wanting to eat in a place where this is the guy who was like, when I saw Fleetwood Mac in concert last year, and they were great, they play all the songs, playing all the hits, boom. Got this hit, got that. I'm not naming the hits, I don't know why. But they're playing just hit after hit, and then they come back, they're doing their encore, and the encore starts off with this song that no one likes, World is Turning, like this, like, dumping ground off of, like, the album Fleetwood Mac. And Mick Fleetwood gets this solo in it, where he just does this drum solo, like, oh, come on now, oh. Come on now. Here we go now. Oh, come on. It's like, it was so unsettling seeing this guy on the big screen in the arena grunting and groaning that this is the first thing they come back with after their, wonder what song they're going to do for the encore. Yeah. You think they'll do Go Your Own Way? I don't know. What are they going to do Don't Stop? No, they're going to do this song where Mick Fleetwood basically sounds like he's like he's getting patted down and enjoying it. Like I've been a bad boy at TSA. Like he's going through TSA provoking them into patting him down because he secretly wanted to get patted down. And then they're just like patting him down and then realizing, "Ugh, this guy's into it." That's what Mick Fleetwood was doing for the encore. So where were you again, Pedro? You had something entirely different to talk about.
That's all right. Last week I went out to see Ghostface Killah came down to Tasmania, and I got to see him at a venue just here. It was a great show, but there was a part of it that I thought you might be interested in. Like
Ghostface Killah from the Wu-Tang Clan.
That's the one.
Is now playing. I guess you'd call Tasmania a, that's not a tertiary market exactly. What is 10 steps below tertiary? No offense to you in Tasmania. But
None taken.
I'm sure Ghostface Killah, when they put the tour itinerary together, he sees Tasmania on it. He has to think it's like that somebody's like pulling a joke on him. That he's going to fly to the other side of the globe. Because it's like Tasmania here, everybody thinks of Tasmanian Devil.
Well, this isn't the story, but this is just another detail.
Ghostface Killah probably thought he was going to be in that Bugs Bunny game where he played the Gas House Gorillas next. Remember when Bugs... Look, I'll say this. Most of the time, Bugs Bunny just wanted to be left alone. This guy's rabbit hole out in the middle of the thing. They can't help the fact the scientist castle's right there. And the flood lifted him out of the hole. And floated him in. He can't help that. But when Bugs Bunny decided to dig his rabbit hole in the outfield of the stadium, that was on him that time.
I start off siding with the Gas House Gorillas on that one. Bugs Bunny should have just put your hole somewhere else, dude. But he really took it to the Gas House Gorillas. Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember what positions he played in the game?
I do not.
All of them. He played all of them.
Oh, wow.
And then he did that move that guy last week was talking to me about with baseball, where he struck out three batters at once. One, two, three strikes, you're out. One, two, three strikes, you're out. One, two, three strikes, you're out. So Ghostface Killer's in town.
Yeah. Well, the first thing, and this is just genuinely great, especially considering that it's Tasmania. Like, we get international artists down here.
Sure.
Sometimes, and they'll have like a cursory, just like, "How you doing, Tasmania?" kind of thing, mm-hmm. And you know, everyone cheers because that's where we are.
Yeah.
But there was this point about partway through the show, like between songs, because it was Ghostface, Sheik Louche, I think it was like the Wu Block kind of group. He had like a few people up on stage with him, and there was a point like between songs, he was like looking out of the crowd, and he turned to everyone on stage, and he said in that suddenly, totally, seemingly sincere sort of voice that he has, he said, "We made it, baby, we made it." Like, that was his definition of success. Yeah. Like, this is what it's all been building to. He's in Tasmania. We made it, baby.
Top of the world, Ma. Tasmania.
But the other thing was, there was a point later in the show, like about half an hour in, maybe. They've been doing a lot of new stuff, a lot of classic stuff, and then he told the crowd that he wanted to do Protect Your Neck from the first Wu-Tang album, but he needed
everyone,
two people from...
Yeah, to rap 80% of the song.
No, he told the crowd that he needed two people from the crowd, one to do Method Man first and one to do ODB's verse.
Yeah.
And this is already like the boldest piece of audience interaction stuff I've ever seen. Because this is there, like again, I need not repeat like where we are. There's like a crowd of maybe 100 people at the very southernmost point of Australia. And he's like trying to find like it takes about like literally about 3 or 4 minutes as well. He's just asking the crowd like, I can't do this song until we find someone who knows Method Man's verse and somebody who knows ODB's verse.
In Tasmania.
He kept saying it over and over again. In Tasmania.
Yeah. That might be the kind of thing you want to try to figure out ahead of time.
But the thing was, like, this was clearly intended, like, I'm sure he does this at almost every show, and it was intended to be, he was kind of talking about it in, like, you know, do we have any, like, day one Wu-Tang fans here? So, like, he was clearly, like, aiming for people who had, like, just committed every word of this album to memory for, like, anywhere up to 20 years.
Yeah.
But there was a guy standing, like, he was standing next to my friend, and my friend pointed him out to me, and I looked over and saw him. He was, like, he had his phone out, and he was on, like, a lyrics site, like, those Metro lyrics or whatever, like those, like, whenever you look for a song lyric,
yeah.
The first 10 results are just like, yeah, he was looking on this site, like, desperately scrambling through, like, trying to look up the lyrics of Protect Your Neck.
Yeah.
Just like,
it's not going to work. You're either you know the thing inside and out, you're not going to crash course it and get up to speed suddenly
exactly.
On Protect Your Neck. That's ridiculous. Pay Dirt. Now, Pay Dirt.
Yes?
I want to thank you for calling, buddy. This was a great call. You're back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for coming back. And Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, buddy. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sam Varela.
Sam Varela, what's up?
Not much. I'm moving to New York.
That's exciting. From Los Angeles.
I am. But the most exciting part is that it looks like on a map I'm going to be directly parallel from Bayonne.
You'll be, it's a straight line from where you'll be in Bayonne. So as the crow flies, you could walk to Bayonne.
Yeah, I could set up like a mic signal.
You could set up a mic signal, which will just pretty much be
a chiku,
like a Coors Light beer window, like a bar sign in the window that you're projecting up into the night sky.
Yeah.
To see if he can hear the chiku. So what is bringing you to New York?
Work and just a chance to see what it's like out there.
I think you're going to like it.
I hope so.
The big city.
Let me know if you need an intern on a new best show.
All right. We're staffed right now. But look, who knows? Mike's always on thin ice. I got to keep some backup names ready. You know? One week, Mike's just not going to show up. I know it. Just like, hey, Mike, you're not here? I'm not into it anymore. Well, look, you have when you do this move, you let me know when you're here.
I will. Do you have any tips?
No, I don't. I have zero tips for this.
Just do it.
You just got to do it.
All right.
Just do it.
I'll install the beacon when I get there.
Yes, install the Chiku beacon. All right, Sam. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye. How we doing? You good? Everybody happy with the show? We feel settled in? I know you do. I know you do, Mike. All right. Let's go back to the phones here on The Best Show. The number is 201-332-3484. Best Show, you're on the air.
Breaker 19, this is Z-Dog in Arborough, bringing the hammer down on them tasty cakes. What's your 10-20, good buddy?
What is this? Hello?
What do you think it is? It's Roy.
Roy? Philly boy Roy?
Yeah, you Tom a dummy. Crack your own memory much? It don't sound like you do.
Hey, what? How are you, Roy?
I'm doing good.
Good. It's good to hear from you.
Thanks. You know, I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah, in the Hall & Oates section.
Okay, you're in the Hall & Oates section of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Please tell me more about this.
Well, you know their album Abandoned Luncheonette?
Yeah.
I'm in the picture on the cover.
You're in the picture on the cover of Abandoned Luncheonette.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's true, though.
Okay.
You want to know the deets? That means details.
Sure. Well, what are the deets?
Well, I was with my dad up by Pottstown back in 73. He was driving, you know, and we stopped off for him to take a leak. Can I say that?
Yeah, well, you already did, so.
Okay. Well, he was doing his business, yeah. And I start walking through the woods, you know, just trying to see what's around.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across this old abandoned diner car.
Okay.
And so I'd stolen one of my old man's cigs.
Yeah.
And I sat in the diner car, and I lit up.
Okay.
It was my first ever smoke, Tom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And just then this photographer shows up, and he starts clicking away.
With you inside.
I'm in it. He don't see me, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of shadowed.
Yeah.
So I'm getting mad because I thought he was going to narc me out to my old man.
Mm-hmm.
So I shot him the finger.
Yeah.
And you can just barely make it out, but it's in there.
You can make out you giving the finger on the cover of Abandoned Luncheonette.
Yeah, I'm wearing a tank top.
So, you're on the cover. I did not know that.
Yeah,
that is...
guess what's on the tank top?
I don't know.
B.O.C. Onk.
The B.O. Oh, because of the Blue Oyster Cult logo is on
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So you sneak the Blue Oyster Cult logo onto a Hall & Oates album cover.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that well, you know, that's something. You know? What was all that, like, CB talk you were doing when you called in?
Oh, you know, I was just trying to speak to you on your new wavelength, literally. You know, I know you're doing the show on CB Radio now, and so I just wanted you to understand me. Roger that, Blob?
Well, Roy, I'm not doing the show on a CB radio. We're doing the show live on the internet. It's not a CB radio.
Oh.
It's not, no. Well,
oh, because I thought I read in Variety magazine that after you got canned from that high school radio station for having a severed torso in your desk, that yeah. the only airwaves willing to broadcast your patented brand of ape filth was those monitored by our nation's lowliest and most depraved truck drivers.
Most depraved truck drivers.
Yeah.
Well, Roy, none of that is true, even remotely. So, no, we're on the internet. People can listen on the internet or on the podcast. You know, it's been a full year since we've talked, Roy.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure people listening, I'm sure all the Best Show listeners would love to know what you've been up to for the last year.
Me?
Yeah.
What have I been up to?
Yeah.
Oh, nothing. You know, same old, same old.
The same old, really?
Yeah. No, Blob. In all honesty?
Yeah.
I'm coming off the most wild year ever imaginable ever that has been.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what, please, I would love to know what happened.
Well, when I vacated my seat in the office of mayor of Newbridge,
yeah,
I knew I really had to take the bull by the horns.
Uh-huh.
And that was a disaster.
How so?
Well, you know, Roy Jr. told me that if I really wanted things to go good, mm-hmm. I'd have to go to a farm and actually wrestle a live bull to the ground by its horns. You know, for good luck.
So he told you that that's what it means to take a bull by the horns, that before you can do it, you actually have to take a bull by his actual horns.
Yeah, literally.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't go so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gouged my haunches.
So, oh, an actual bull gouged your haunches.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So after I got out of the hospital,
uh-huh.
I was really floundering for quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried several things that I thought was going to be surefire money makers.
Uh-huh. Like what kind of things?
Well, you know, Roy's noise-generating headphones, Dentist Who, the Scoldington Post, Paw Pilots. Well, none of them really took off.
Uh-huh. Wait, That list right there sounded like that's like a novel in and of itself with you. Like just the, well, you said what, noise generating headphones?
Yeah.
What is a noise generating headphone?
Oh, well, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people, they don't, you know, they don't want to hear, you know, nothing. They don't want to hear sweet silence.
Uh-huh.
You know, some people can only relax to the sound of jackhammers and chainsaws sawing away on metal pipes. Uh-oh. At least I thought they did.
Uh-huh.
Turns out they don't.
Yeah, it turns out they don't.
Yeah.
So nobody wanted your noise-generating headphones.
Couldn't sell one. I sold half of one.
Half of one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what were some of the other things you mentioned there? You said something dentist?
Oh, yeah, Dentist Who.
Dentist Who.
Yeah. Well, it was a surefire hit series I was pitching to the Shout Network about a man who wears a hilariously long and fun scarf.
Yeah.
Who goes into the future to do root canals on phone booths.
Dentist. Oh, so it's like Doctor Who.
What?
Yeah, Doctor Who.
What's that?
It's a show that's been on for almost 60 years now.
I ain't never heard of it.
Oh, you never heard of it?
No.
But you came up with the idea of Dentist Who.
I sure did.
Uh-huh. So it's like a... So it was a time-traveling dentist?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget that scarf.
Yeah, with a long scarf on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Matthew Tompkins over at Shout, he didn't want to do it. You know what they greenlit instead?
What's that?
The show about D'Angelo fans.
The show about D'Angelo fans, which is pretty... What's that, Roy?
Well, I was going to say, are you as tired of D'Angelo as I am? I mean, he was genius for all of last Monday and most of Tuesday, but then it's like, next, please.
Because...
Hello?
Because the D'Angelo album came out on, like, Sunday night, and then everyone said it was the greatest album ever for, like, 2 days. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
But you're just done with it now.
I'm like, next, please.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So his genius, the genius lasted for you for 2 days.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that is, I guess that's just how it goes with D'Angelo.
That's how it goes with Roy Z.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the house.
In the Roy Z's in the house, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other thing you said about the Scoldington?
Oh, the Scoldington Post, yeah.
Yeah.
See, the Scoldington Post was going to revolutionize how people live their lives.
Okay.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't want to subscribe to a blog that tells you you've been doing everything wrong your entire life? Eating wrong, drinking wrong, having sex wrong, reading wrong, sleeping wrong, being wrong.
I don't follow what you... Okay, so it would correct people's behavior?
Just tell you you've been doing everything wrong. Turns out nobody wanted that neither.
Just being told that everything was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the way you're eating is wrong.
Yeah.
People just didn't want that kind of blog.
Nobody wanted that.
Yeah. I could see that.
They didn't want Palm Pilots either.
Palm Pilots?
What's that?
It was a thing from the past, from like about 10 years ago, where it was like, where you kind of would kind of be able to just have like a little portable schedule book that you could write memos on and things. A Palm.
That sounds like what I was doing.
Uh huh.
But for dogs.
What you were doing a Palm Pilot, but for a dog.
Well, Tom, there's a lot of very busy dogs out there.
Uh huh.
And they need a better way to keep track of all their appointments and organize their email.
So
the Paw Pilot was the answer to every dog's needs.
The Paw Pilot.
Yeah.
Okay. So a Paw Pilot was this thing you're doing that helped out dogs with their schedules.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it turns out dogs don't really have as much money as I thought they did.
They didn't have as much money as you thought they'd. So you thought that dogs had, thinking that dogs had any money.
Yeah, I thought dogs had more cash in paw than they do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But so the Paw Pilot was a huge, huge bust.
Yeah. But you know it was a bigger bust?
What's that?
And this is the big news.
Yeah.
Rhoda and I got divorced.
What?
Yeah.
Really? You and Rhoda? That's terror. That is huge news.
Very sad.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, you know, things got pretty complicated. Look, Tom, I'm not perfect. There was only one who was.
There was only one. What is that, like a Christian thing? Like there was only one perfect. Like the Lord?
We don't need to get into our beliefs, Tom.
Uh-huh.
I'll just say this. My heart was captured by another.
Uh-huh.
And like many torrid love affair,
yeah,
it began at hang gliding school.
Like many a torrid love affair, it began at hang gliding school.
Yup.
What were you doing at a hang gliding school?
Hang on, let me take a drink. Oh. Well, you know, Roy Jr., he was going to get an F-minus in his chemistry class.
An F-minus?
Yeah, and he said it would be a good idea if I changed the grade in his teacher's grade book. But because the classroom was so high up,
uh-huh,
I had to use unusual measures to access the room.
Okay.
And after weeks and weeks of discussion, we arrived at the only possible way to get into the classroom after the school was closed at night.
Mm-hmm. Which, okay, so you would hang glide to it.
That's right.
Yeah. So the classroom must have been on a pretty high floor if you're going to hang glide.
Oh, it was.
Uh-huh. What floor?
The first and a half.
What is the first and a half?
Well, it was kind of like a half floor above the first floor, not like a full floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I got to say the plan did work.
Okay.
I pulled it off without a hitch.
Really?
Yeah.
So you,
but, you know, I didn't want to, you know, bring attention to it, so I didn't want to seem too obvious. So I changed Roy Jr.'s grade to a straight F.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So he still failed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains why Roy Jr. tried to kill me the day he got his report card.
Yeah, yeah. So you took his F minus and turned it just to an F.
Well, I didn't want it to look like it was being, you know, it was too much, like by going to like a B or an A.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I should have rethought that.
Yeah, yeah. You probably should have rethought that, Roy.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyway, I met my new lover in the aforementioned hang gliding class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her name's Tawny, and she was the wife of Eagles cornerback Eric Mortz at the time. Yeah, I know. It was a sinful affair committed by two married infidels.
Okay, sinful and infidels. You've got your own little language going here, but so you...
Well, it was the language of love, Tom.
Uh-huh.
It was pure sensual erotic love.
The two of you.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what.
What's that?
Once those sparks started flying, we were hang gliding all over Philadelphia, making love above the city for nights at a time. Yeah, we treated the Philadelphians all over to our sky love.
Ew.
What? You don't like sky love?
Well, I'm just picturing people looking up and seeing what you're referring to as sky love.
Hey, you don't think they could see up her skirt, do you?
Roy, I don't know.
Okay. You know, I gotta say, though, it was a real whirlwind romance. Get it? Wind? Whirlwind?
No, I got it. I'm
okay.
With you. Yeah, no, I'm with you. That was...
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I divorced Rhoda in May.
Okay.
And I was living with Tawny by June.
Wow. May and June, you're already living with Tawny.
I told you it was whirlwind.
Yeah. How is that working out?
Oh, we got divorced in July. Why?
You and Tawny. So it did not work out.
No. You know, it didn't go the way I hoped it would.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, you know, we was having a great time living it up in Mort's Manor out there in Haverford.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you, we made love in every nook and cranny of that house, son.
Okay.
Yeah. But then one day Eric came back to the house from training camp.
Okay.
And I'm there lounging in the hot tub wearing a suit. Oh, man, he blew a gasket.
Uh-huh. So you're in the hot tub of this NFL player.
Yeah.
Mortz.
Yeah.
Eric Mortz. Yeah, and he sees you wearing his swimsuit in the hot tub. I'm sure he was furious.
Oh, he was really furious, but it wasn't a swimsuit.
What were you wearing?
Oh, I was wearing his Armani suit. It cost like 10 G's.
So you're in the hot tub. Why are you wearing an Armani suit in a hot tub?
I don't know. It just seemed like something cool to do. I'll tell you what, though. He was even madder about the roids.
What roids?
Well, let's just say besides helping myself to Eric's wife's wedding night area, I was also helping myself to Eric's performance-enhancing drugs.
Uh-huh.
Man, those things made me really strong. I got so strong, I was lifting all the weight machines.
So you were, like, when you were on a weight machine, you were doing, like, the max weight, which is, that's insane that you were that strong all of a sudden, because you're not that strong.
Oh, I am now. No. Oh, no. I meant I was lifting the machines.
The actual machines.
Oh, yeah. My workout was doing reps, lifting the entire machines over my head over and over again.
So that's what the roids were doing to you.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I was actually getting known as Philly Boy Roids.
Because of the amount of the roids you were doing.
Yeah, I was huge. But you know what? I didn't know there was a downside to those things.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah, I ate them like they was candy. I thought they were like Sour Patch leaves.
No, Roy, that's serious stuff. That's like, that's not nothing to just goof around with.
Yeah, you're telling me now. I stopped taking them, and now I feel really weird. But, you know, onward and upward, right?
It's all you can do. Onward and upward.
Speaking of.
Yeah?
I've got an interior motive for calling you.
An ulterior motive?
What's that?
That's what you have, but...
Okay, I got one of those.
Okay.
All right, I need you to blurb me, Blob.
What's that?
I need you to blurb me.
Blurb you?
Yeah.
What do you mean by... What is a blurbing?
Well, David and the brass over at Shout Media, they said I need to start thinking about this stuff.
Who is David?
David Ritz.
David Ritz is a guy, he writes all these, like he co-writes celebrity autobiographies.
Yeah, he's helping me write mine.
The same David Ritz.
Yeah, I got a book deal.
You have a book deal.
Yeah, with Shout Media. We all got book deals.
When you say we all got book deals, which is also a guy who has a book deal is saying we all got book deals.
That's what I said.
Who else got a book deal, Roy?
Well, me, AP Mike, Spike, Fredericks from Newport Richie, Julie from Cincinnati. Oh, Fred from Honolulu. His book's great. It's called Tuesdays with Dog the Bounty Hunter and His Wife.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get a book deal?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't get one?
No.
Oh. Well, anyway, my book?
Yeah.
It's a real page-turner.
It's a real page-turner.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of?
Yeah.
Guess who I've been dating after things went south with Tawny?
Who?
Paige Turner.
I don't know what that means. Paige Turner?
Yeah, Paige Turner, the star of all them Triple X book-related parody films.
Wait, there are like... There's like X-rated movies that are like book-related?
Oh, there's shelves full of them. You get it? Shelves, bookshelves.
Yeah, I got it. That makes sense.
You don't know any of these movies?
No, I don't.
You never heard The Old Man and the Sea? It's just the letter C.
Ugh.
Okay. What about The Also Rises?
Okay, I had to bleep you there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What about The Grapes of Bread?
Okay, I don't want to know about that.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Breasts.
Ugh.
Okay, well, you had to have seen Of Mice and...
Yeah, I had to bleep you on that one, too.
Oh, gee, look. I thought you were on the internet now. Anything goes.
Yeah, no,
right?
And not with some of these things, Roy. So.
Okay. Well, you know, we're all taking bets on how long your show's going to last.
What?
It seems really iffy to me at this point.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
The show seems iffy, so people are taking bets. Who's taking bets on whether the show lasts?
Oh, off the top of my head, you know, Mike, Spike, Julie from Cincinnati, Fred from Honolulu, Darren Ploppleton, Todd Fancy.
Todd Fancy.
Yeah.
The guitarist from the New Pornographers.
Where's the Mirror Shades? Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of hangs back. He don't know what his deal is.
Yeah.
What's he doing back there?
So he's betting on when the show ends. Well, he's playing guitar back there.
I mean, what's he thinking?
You got me. I don't know. Okay. Who else is taking bets?
Oh, Dave from Knoxville, Low Straight Jackets, Michael Kay, Glenn Danzig, Hammerhead, Stevie Blue, Timmy Von Trimble, who else? Andy Kindler, Paul Simonon.
Andy Kindler, who's supposed to be a friend of this show.
I thought so too.
Is taking bets on when the show goes under.
He's placing the biggest wager.
Oh, that's
40 G's.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Who else?
Paul Simonon.
From The Clash.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
August.
The kid who used to call.
Yeah. Gorch.
The Gorch.
Officer Tom.
Uh-huh.
Neil DeGrasse.
Okay, great.
Vice President Biden, Pastor Josh.
Okay.
Martin Short.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, you know, I just... people can do whatever they're going to do. That's fantastic. Fine.
Oh, how generous of
Fine.
You.
Oh. I'm going to keep doing the show, and they can bet all they want to bet. The show's not stopping.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Hey, I got a question for you.
What's that, Roy?
Where are you DJing on New Year's Eve?
I'm not DJing anywhere.
You ain't DJing nowhere?
No, I'm not.
Oh, man, we're all doing DJ sets on New Year's Eve.
Who else is doing a DJ set?
Oh, you know, I'm doing some Roy Jr., Rhoda Jr., Little Rhoda, Dave Cash.
I don't know Dave Cash. Who is Dave Cash?
Well, Dave Cash the Human was, of course, the second baseman for the Phillies from 74 to 76. Okay. Dave Cash the Dog is the newest addition to the Ziegler clan.
Dave Cash...
Yeah.
Is a dog.
Yeah.
And is... So you have a dog now.
We do, yeah. He's half poodle wiener and one-third pug wawa doodle.
What is a pug wawa doodle?
Well, it's half... It's just part pug, part chihuahua, and part doodle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's half poodle...
The poodle wiener is what you gotta watch out for.
So he's half poodle wiener...
Yeah.
And one-third...
Yeah.
Pug Wawa Doodle, which I think still, it doesn't work out mathematically. I still think you have some dog left over.
Oh, you know, I would not put it past this thing to be part alligator.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's Dave Cash.
That's right.
Your dog.
He's such a good boy. Aren't you Dave Cash the dog? Hey, take your sneakers off before you get on the couch.
Take your sneakers off. What are you? Is that one of your kids you're talking to? To tell
no.
them?
Who no. No, it's just... Well, it's just me, Rhoda, and Dave Cash here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. So your dog wears sneakers.
Well, nothing fancy. They're just Rhoda Jr.'s old Skechers. No biggie. Hey, you know, Dave Cash is DJing a PetSmart New Year's Eve party.
So your dog, Dave Cash,
yeah,
is DJing a party at PetSmart.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's great. He's totally earning his keep around here. He's even fixing the puppy bowl.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That your dog is fixing the puppy bowl.
Yeah, don't tell no one. But he knows several of the players, and he's getting some of them to not act as cute as they usually are. This is the big. It's the big secret. He's even got Freckles. Now Freckles is the Bo Jackson of competitive dog cuteness. He's getting Freckles to fake flagrant morbid rabidity.
Oh.
It's going to take someone's finger off that day.
Freckles.
Yeah.
So Freckles would be the odds-on favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm putting everything I own and everything you own in that puppy bowl pot.
You're not putting everything I own onto it. I don't want any part of this.
Well, it's too late.
What do you mean it's too late?
Well, I got your bank account passwords and all that stuff. Doing transfers tomorrow morning.
No, you're not doing anything like that.
Sure I am.
No, you're
Why?
Not.
Why? Please?
No, I'm not being a part of any of this, Roy.
Oh, come on, please. Have some Christmas spirit.
Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
So you're talking about Christmas. No, I'm not going to have any Christmas spirit if you're going to put all my money on the line.
Oh, come on.
What?
Well, you think about it, and speaking of Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
What call of mine just the days before Christmas would be complete without the traditional reading of the night before Christmas Philly style?
Yeah, you know, that has kind of become a tradition on the show.
You love it, don't you?
It's its own thing.
You love it, don't you?
Yes, I love it.
Oh, thanks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen. I feel like the old version had become a little stale.
Okay.
A little played out.
Uh-huh.
And listen, even though the teleplay for Dentist Who didn't take off how I hoped it would,
yeah,
I found I loved writing scientist fiction.
Science fiction.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called science.
See, okay, well, you know, because I never read none of that stuff,
yeah,
I realized it gave me a fresh perspective on the genre.
The genre of scientist fiction.
Yeah, I'm a storyteller, Tom.
Okay.
Don't you love when people say they're storytellers, people in Hollywood?
When they
Isn't
say...
Isn't it the best?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Roy.
Yeah.
Not going to talk about that.
Okay. Well, listen, I did a very exciting, very futuristic updating of my previous work.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah. You know what? I am ready. This is a science fiction updating?
Yeah, yeah.
Of your previous work, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Philly style.
Well, now it's called 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Future Philly style.
Okay. The floor is yours, Roy.
Here we go. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a robot. Ugh, the eye stockings was hung by the cyber chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The androids was nestled all snug in their sleeping pods, while visions of electronic hoagies danced in their Daft Punk helmets.
Wait, while what danced in there? In their what?
Visions of electronic hoagies.
Electronic hoagies.
Yeah.
Danced in their Daft Punk helmets.
You don't know about Daft Punk, only the best band of all time.
No, I know about Daft Punk, Roy.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Mama in her Eagles jersey and I in my Phillies cap had just settled our electronic brains for a long winter's digital hibernation. When out in the robot repair lab there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I jumped on my hoverboard and flew like a flash, tore up the stairs and grabbed me an iBat.
An iBat.
Yeah.
What's that, like an electronic bat?
It's an electronic bat, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You don't think that could exist in the future?
Sure. So you got on your hoverboard. You heard something outside.
I did.
You got on your hoverboard.
I did.
And you went over and grabbed your iBat.
I did.
Yeah, okay.
You're following this very well.
Well, it's really engaging. And I don't want to miss any of it.
Good. Okay, well, may I continue, please?
Please, yes.
The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of robotic cheesesteaks to objects below. When what to my, excuse me?
Robotic cheesesteak. So go ahead. Yeah. Sorry. Don't want to stop your flow. Go ahead.
Okay. When what to my wondering eyes did appear, but a cyber sleigh with 8 android Philly legends so dear. With a tough robot driver so angry and mean, I knew in a moment Robo Rizzo was on the scene.
Okay. Robo Rizzo?
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming is a robotic Mayor Frank Rizzo?
Tom, never assume, because then you make an ass out of you and also others.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's something like that.
Yeah. But you're right to assume that because it's true.
Okay, so Robo Rizzo is on the scene now.
That's correct.
Okay, I'll stop.
Okay. More rapid than them eagles, the legends they came. And Rizzo whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now robotic Iverson, now robotic Levinsky, now robotic Dr. J, and robotic Tom Kiefer.
Okay, from Cinderella.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Cyber Hall, on Cyber Oats, on Android Kurt Vile, and TRI.
TRI, I know. Yeah. That's Todd.
Come on.
It's Todd Rundgren.
Yeah.
Like his digital persona.
Yeah, you know where he went to high school?
Upper Darby?
Yeah. You know who also went there?
Tina Fey.
Yeah.
All right.
Where Psychotic Norman's from, too.
Okay, they're from there, too.
Good band, yeah.
Yeah, the real who's who coming out of that high school.
Yeah. Okay, you ready for more?
Sure.
To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now rock away, dunk away, home run away, all. As the home runs that robotic Chase Utley let fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to Pat Stakes, the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of computer chips and St. Robo Rizzo too.
Okay, so now the sleigh has shown up.
Yeah.
With the robotic Frank Rizzo and pulling it are robotic versions of Philadelphia legends.
Yeah. And then in a twinkling, I saw on the ground, the sleigh had landed with a horrible sound. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney at Pat's, St. Robo Rizzo came with a bound. He was dressed like an android, from his head to his foot, and his metallic Flyers jersey was all tarnished with ashes and soot.
Okay, so now he's in Pat Stakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
A bundle of futuristic toys he'd flung on his back, and he looked like yours truly pulling a smoke from a fresh pack. Gotta work yourself into these.
Yeah, so you got a little reference to yourself in there.
Yeah, yeah. His eyes, how they glowed. His cyber dimples, how merry. His cheeks was like blood on the ice at the Wells Fargo Center. His nose, like a can of Frank's Cherry.
Which is a classic. You've always had that classic.
Gotta put it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite soda.
Okay.
Yeah. His filthy android mouth was drawn up like a bow. And all of his three chins were as white as a war on drug show.
Okay.
That's a current band. You may not have heard of them.
No, I know those guys.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
The stump of an e-cigarette held tight in his teeth. And the vaping, it encircled his head like a wreath.
Okay, so St. Robo.
He's vaping.
He's vaping. Okay. Yeah.
Isn't that a great visual to think of him just vaping away, taking hits?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's...
I'm vaping now.
You're vaping?
Yeah, don't tell no one.
Okay, I won't.
Okay. He had an electronic face and a fat robotic belly that shook when he yelled at the scared people of Philly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old man, and I laughed at him until lasers shot out of his hands.
So he shot some lasers at you.
Yeah. Not cool.
No.
A wink of his electronic eye and a twist of his robotic head let me know that I would soon be dead. He stood up and said, "All you idiots get to work. Fill them sacks with coins. We're robbing the Philadelphia Mint tonight, you jerks."
We're,
So the
Philadelphia Mint.
Yeah.
He's plotting a thing to rob the Philadelphia Mint.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's the year 8255, and the future is rough. Life in future Philly is certainly tough. Robo Rizzo jumped into his sleigh and gave his crew a shout. And we all went down to Art Street to empty the mint out.
Okay, so you all go down to the U.S. Mint in Philly to rob the place.
Yeah. And I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and New Jersey still sucks."
Oh, so you couldn't even rhyme it with a, you had to end it with something that, you couldn't even end with rhyming with "to all a good night."
I had to do it.
You had to do it.
I had to do it.
Yeah, you couldn't help yourself.
Do you like it?
Well, you certainly took your whole thing to new places with that.
Pretty cool, right?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, I just got to ask you something, Roy. Something's kind of been hanging me up since you said something a while ago.
Okay.
You were saying that where you are right now, it's just you.
Yeah.
And your dog, Dave Cash.
Yeah.
And was it Rhoda or Rhoda Jr. who was there?
Rhoda. Why?
So Rhoda is there.
Yeah.
But I thought you guys got, divorced.
Oh, we did. But then we got remarried again a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Tom, you know, I'm the kind of cat that needs to be part of a pride. A pride's a cat family, like lions.
Sure, okay. A pride is a cat family, yeah.
Yeah. So when I started making motions to Rhoda, come on, let's get it back. She was all no dice.
Uh-huh.
She was dating this piece of trash called Jello Man.
Hold on a second. Rhoda.
Yeah.
Was dating Jello Man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What a creep. And I thought I made some poor life choices.
Look, I like Jello Man. I think he's a good guy.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Anywho, I realized only an incredible act of heroism was the way to get Rhoda back.
To win back her affection, you had to do something heroic.
Absolutely, yeah.
What did you do?
I set fire to the house.
You set fire to what, your own house?
Yeah, the house we used to live in.
Uh-huh.
Where she was still living with the kids.
All right.
And then I made this big production of coming out of nowhere to save her and the kids.
Yeah.
And the firemen, they came and they put it out. It wasn't a ton of damage, and long story short, I ended up sleeping in my rightful bed again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, Roy?
Yeah.
You said that Rhoda is in the room with you right now?
Oh, yeah, she is.
Uh-huh. Well, she must have heard you explaining this scheme that you just said while we're on the phone.
Oh, no. No, it don't work that way. See, I hear like 0.5% of what she says. I'm sure it's the same for her.
Uh-huh. Well, you're sure about that? That she's... Just because you tend to not listen to what others say. How can you be sure that she's not listening?
Oh, man, now you got me wondering.
What's that?
Well, you know, she is gathering up all my belongings.
Rhoda is.
What is she doing out there? Oh, she's putting it all in a big pile in the front lawn.
All your stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, where did she get 2 sticks of dynamite?
Oh,
Wow. I guess Roy just got his stuff blown up. Guys, this is as good a time as any for me to tell you about the move. Yeah, how about that? The move. Message from the country. My boys in the move. Bringing it. Guys. The phone number is 201-332-3484. Take a few calls, see what's up. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, I kind of want to get your opinion on something.
What's your name, young man?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tim from Detroit.
Tim from Detroit. What's up, Tim?
Nothing. I was at the record store the other day picking up some albums, and I was kind of getting in conversation with some of the guys that work there, and we came out upon the topic of the band Foreigner. And I was kind of getting some beef from them because I really wasn't familiar with the band Foreigner, just kind of some of the hits they play on the radio around here. And they kind of made me like feel bad that I really wasn't into Foreigner because I never really gave any of their albums a chance because it's like, you know, I kind of know what I heard on the radio. And I was kind of done with it. Didn't really care to listen to them. So I kind of just went along my way, bought my records, went home, and I was sitting at home that night, and I was kind of feeling bad that I never really gave Foreigner a chance. And am I really missing out on anything with that?
No! Foreigner?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, really? Like...
What do you think, you're missing out on some deep tracks?
They were listing off these tracks I never even heard of. Like I said, I'm familiar with like the singles. Like I guess that would be popular on the radio.
Name the songs you're familiar with.
Cold Blooded. Yeah. Too Much Time on My Hands.
Cold Blooded. Cold Blooded is Hot Blooded.
Oh right, I'm sorry.
And what's the other one? Cold as Ice is Foreigner, not Cold Blooded.
Right.
What is he singing about? A lizard?
Yep.
What other songs?
Too Much Time on My Hands.
Well, that's a Styx song.
Oh, well, geez. Then I don't know Foreigner as much as I
Yeah, go get a great... Don't worry about deep cuts on it. Just worry about the hits. You don't even know which hits you're talking about.
Sure.
Get your house in order. Get your house in
order. All right. Maybe that's what I'll do then.
Yeah, that's what you're going to do. Goodbye. Best show, you're on the air.
Whoa.
What?
Hello?
Hi. Hi, who's this?
This is Teresa in Kentucky.
Teresa in Kentucky. What part of Kentucky are you from? Louisville?
From the western Mitch McConnelly River Hobbity part of it.
Okay. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, thank you. Nice to meet you.
It's very nice to meet you.
I've been a fan of the show for a while, and I'm really glad that it's back. I've just finally gotten my nerve up to call.
Well, I'm glad you did, too. What's going on lately with you, madam?
Oh, you know, Christmas stuff. I've been putting together my Christmas playlist for Spotify, because sooner or later I can't stand the holiday hits TV station that my parents want to put on, and I always want a couple of options, you know, instrumental or anything that's not Irving Berlin and Bing Crosby.
Uh-huh.
Basically.
Sure. Like, you want to hear some other stuff other than
than
White Christmas.
And, Even Mila Kalikimaka. You know, I loved Mila Kalikimaka with, I think that's Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters, right?
Got me, man. Got me.
I I was really into that to the point of blogging about it even until it got to me after a while, that scene in National Lampoon's Christmas, and I just, like, this is so, I feel violated watching that fantasy sequence in this movie that I watched when I was a child. So, like, over that one, I now prefer Christmas Island with the Andrews sisters on it.
Okay.
It's infinitely superior, even if Christmas Island means an island where the only inhabitants are
really old,
growing up palm trees.
Like super old also? Like they're super old also because they're listening to the Andrews sisters and Bing Crosby.
Right. Well, it doesn't matter how old it is. It matters how frequently played it is and if it's part of another generation's nostalgia.
Sure, sure.
I mean, I also love Mamacita, Donde Esta Santa Claus.
It's a good song. It's by Augie Rios.
What?
It's by Augie Rios.
Yeah. That sounds right to me, too. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm trying to remember. And, like, my favorite really is the Phil Spector Christmas album.
Really? You like that one?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite song on it?
With the Ronettes and the Crystals and Skip Over the Bobby Fox one.
Sure.
Like, any of the ones that Darling Love sings on
are
pretty good. The whole Wall of Sound thing, like, this is epic, Christmas is coming. If Baby doesn't come home, then, like, our whole house is going to implode like the end of Poltergeist.
Oh, look. You got your Christmas music set up. You got your Spotify list put together. You are going to have a grand holiday.
I hope so.
All right. Well, look, you have a great time. Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
Tom. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going all right. Who's this?
Hey, my name is Dash. I'm calling from Summit, New Jersey.
Bash from Summit.
That's me.
What's up, Bash?
Dash with a D.
Dash. Okay. What's up, Dash?
I was wondering if during the hiatus you had any chance to check out that the AMC show where Kiss buys a football team.
Fourth and Loud?
That's the one.
I watched a couple episodes of it.
Okay, well, so you know how crazy slimy it was.
Well, look,
weird.
I'm a huge arena football fan. So it was exciting that L.A. finally has a football team again, the L.A. Kiss. And they were so I watched an L.A. Kiss game on ESPN2, I think, on a Saturday night. And it was as bad as it gets. They were bad. They were so bad. And then, but they just had Paul Stanley at the stadium and Gene Simmons there, and they're just trying to make the thing seem lively. But then, meanwhile, they have like strippers going in cages. It's really kind of unsettling. It's not good.
It was wild. Well, if you didn't see the whole thing, could I share with you maybe the best moment from it?
Please.
There, at one point, you know, the team is just losing, losing, losing. They can't stop losing.
Yeah.
And so they go to a children's hospital. Did you see this part?
I did not see this episode. I saw the episode, the early ones. I did not see the ones where they were losing.
Okay, so a few of the players, as well as Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, go to visit a children's hospital, and they're like, you know, giving away Kiss bobbleheads to these kids. But the best part was that as the football players are introducing themselves to these children, they're then introducing Paul and Gene and saying, "Hey, kids, these are the people that own us."
Well, that's thrilling. What kid wouldn't love?
I think it's really exciting that we're here getting a chance
to talk to the kids about the L.A. Kiss and all of the way that, because that you shouldn't have to mortgage your house to be able to go take the family to a football game. And it's really a great family experience to bring everybody there outside of the half-naked women gyrating in cages. It's really a great family experience to see a football back in Los Angeles.
Paul Stanley. This guy should be ashamed of himself. Look. All right, fine. Everybody wants to hear. I'll play the, I got to play this commercial. Everybody's
talking about. Oh, hell yeah. Thanks, Tom. You're the best. Have a good show.
I already am having a good show. Have a good show? We're already into it. Have a good show. Mission accomplished, you goon. So Paul Stanley, I guess, did this coffee commercial for Folgers, which I guess is like, it's like Sanka, right? It's like pre-frozen or something. Like, it's not good. Nobody likes that stuff, right? Nobody likes Folgers. So we filmed this commercial and they buried it. Did not come out. But now it came out. Somebody put it on the web because they wanted to, like, who knows what they wanted to, who knows why they wanted to hurt Paul Stanley, basically. That's the only question. Why did this person want, I like you type in, this is the greatest thing now. Paul Stanley, you go to YouTube. This is a guy who's in Kiss for 45 years now. You type in Paul, you get Paul McCartney. Paul George injury. What kind of ghoul is going to watch that? Watch Paul George's leg split in half. Guy from the Indiana Pacers. What kind of monster?
Got to watch it. You got to see this.
I type in Paul S. Paul Stanley Folgers comes up. So it's this commercial. Let's bring this up. It starts off, it's a circus setting. Because, you know, that's what you think of when you think of coffee. It's just like a trapeze artistry. First thing that comes to mind is the guy from Kiss and trapeze artists and coffee. So it's basically Paul Stanley walking through this circus tent, holding a cup of coffee, singing this song about, "This is your curtain call."
This is your
wake-up call, not curtain call.
Time to reach, go for it.
And a woman's climbing up to the... So basically he's watching this woman do this trapeze stuff, trying not to fall. And I guess Folgers is what made the difference between her making the move, the leap or not.
Hey world, watch me fly.
Look, if I'm going to do a Folgers commercial, it's got a rock at some point in it. Because it's Paul Stanley. It's got to have some rock in it.
Okay, Paul, what if at the end we ramp it up and it sounds kind of like rock, but not really, when you do the best part of waking up is Folgers in a cup?
Okay, we'll give it a shot.
The only thing people who didn't know who Paul Stanley is would think is like, why is there a clown wearing flesh-colored clown makeup down on the floor of the circus, down in the down on the ground, this abandoned circus, watching trapeze artists practice? Somebody clearly wanted to even the score with Paul Stanley. He must have beat them on something. Fine.
Yeah, I'm going to get this guy back. I'm putting the Folgers thing online.
Whoa. Hey, Greg. I don't know if you want to go that far. Yeah, he fired you, but seriously, you're going to put that Folgers spot online?
Yeah, I'm doing it. I don't care.
So now this Folgers commercial with this guy looking like a buffoon is online. People send me the links. It's like chum for the shark. Honey for the bear. Check out the Folgers thing. Check out Billy Crystal's eulogy. It's a little mini play for Robin Williams. Guys, again, I'll tell you now, I'm going to tell you all the time. Best Show's back. You check it out at thebestshow.net. We're sorting stuff out. It's going pretty good. I like where we're at. It's going to keep getting better every week. How do you support the show? It's simple. There's no paywall up. You don't have to pay to hear it. I want everybody to hear this show. This is what you do. You go to thebestshow.net when it's live and you listen live. You tell people the show's back. Got to spread the word on it. You subscribe over at iTunes or wherever else. That's how you help. That's what I need you guys to do. That's because we're not a part of some podcast network. We're not a part of an NPR thing. We're on our own here, own little island, own sovereign nation. We gotta make our hay on our own. So let's do this together. If you want the show to go and keep going this way, that's what you got to do to help. So we're going to do it, and it's going to keep going every year. Every year? Let's not push it. I got 60 days to return all this stuff. I might tell Mike, get the boxes. If you hear me say, get the boxes, and then the show doesn't come back, that means we're done. That means I sent Mike back to Sam Goody to return everything. That's right, Christmas is here. And I found what I believe for anybody who's having a hard time being in the Christmas spirit. It's hard this year. I'm just not in the spirit, Tom. Well, here's a song that'll help you kind of reignite those Christmas embers, get you back in the mood. You remember Jim Brewer, Mike? The comedian? Half-baked? Goat boy? Saturday Night Live superstar? Well, he has thrown his hat into the Christmas song arena. He's got a song now called Santa Claus Ain't Coming to Town. Let's check this out. Hold on. Put that down. Put that up.
Now listen, I know we're excited because Santa's coming, but we're going to have to go over our little list first and make sure that everyone's been a good boy and girl. Okay?
Oh, okay. Right there. That's music that... Nobody likes music that sounds like that anymore unless you're doing, like, intros and outros at a dumb talk, like some sports talk. It's the animal. Sports talk.
Everyone's been a good boy and girl, okay?
Christmas. Yeah, well, I'm checking out all the...
These metal guys, man. These metal...
I'm going to do a Christmas song, but it's going to be metal. I'm not going to just do a dumb regular one. It's going to be metal.
Metal.
Kenny's Christmas list. Now, you know what? I have some issues. Let's review. Listen up. Hey, little guy. How many times has Mom asked you? Not once, not twice, but over and over again. Clean up all your toys.
How long? I think it's 7 hours. Or at least that's what it feels like.
Hey, little guy, how many times has Mom told you to pick up all your toys?
Metal, these metal guys. I tell you. Look, I'm on Twitter, just like everybody else. Hey, I follow Eddie Trunk, just like everybody else. Guy hosts that metal show. Sure, he's a New Jersey guy. Sure, I tease him a little bit about UFO. I'll always tweet to him about UFO because he's got an inordinate amount of reverence for the band UFO, fourth tier metal band. All right, let's listen to more. I'll talk more about Eddie Trunk in a second.
But you never do you? No. You leave them all over the place. They're in the kitchen, they're in the bathroom, they're outside, they're inside, they're in my bed. Please do as you're told. Otherwise, Santa Claus just might not make it this year. So will you do me that favor? Start cleaning up all your toys and all your clothes.
He's doing like, this is his institutionalized. Like, this is his version of the Suicidal Tendencies song. Except it's a kid who just wants a Pepsi, it's a Jim Brewer wants his kid to pick toys up. Man, this guy. You know what? At some point you gotta just say, you know what?
I gave my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.
And then you go get a job at Home Depot. That's what you do. You don't keep trying to find a new angle to play here.
No one wants me in movies. No one wants me on TV. No one wants me doing stand-up. I guess I'll do a Christmas song. Oh, boy.
While you're at it, please. When I'm talking to you, we discussed no social media, which means no iPod, no iPad, no computers, or Facebook, or Snapchat, or Instagram, none of it. Do you understand? Until all your schoolwork and all your chores are all done. Otherwise, Santa is going to skip right by the house.
It's actually giving me a knot in my stomach hearing this.
Man.
You ever watch that show, That Metal Show, Mike? Like, it's Eddie Trunk, the grandmaster of metal. And he does this thing, Stump the Trunk, where guys ask him people in the audience ask questions, you get these, degenerates in the audience ask him
what's the B-side off the second Kicks single? Can you name, Crocus had, like they'll ask these questions like, Crocus put a live EP out in Japan, who produced it?
And then he gets so mad when he can't answer the questions that he just like, he gets all twisted. And he just tries to worm his way out of it. So it's Eddie Trunk, and then these two other guys, these two metal guys. One of them, they're two stand-ups. Jim Florentine, who's always talking about Ozzy. It's always like, well, because they'll do these lists where it's like, all right, on the show tonight, let's do top metal bands of, what, like, top vocalists in metal. And then it's like, number one's got to be Ozzy. Jim Florentine. Number one is Ozzy. And the way he says Ozzy, it makes, it's like, might as well be, you might as well be crinkling, like, styrofoam in my ear. The way, Ozzy. Ozzy. Well, what you have to realize about Ozzy is that he sang on the first 8 Sabbath albums. And then Ozzy started Blizzard of Oz. And then Ozzy started doing Black Sabbath again.
Oh, metal. You metal guys. Gotta expand your horizons. These metal, they're so set in their ways. Metal.
Ozzy. I would say Ozzy's the greatest singer who's ever been in any band ever, is Ozzy. And then number 2 is Ronnie James Dio, who replaced Ozzy in Black Sabbath. Then the 3rd best singer is Ozzy, again with his solo stuff.
Oh, metal.
Right, Mike? Yeah. Not for you, is it? But now you got Jim Brewer catering his comedy to the metal crowd. What about people who love metal, who have families, and want a G-rated Christmas song? Since no metal band, I think King Diamond did a metal song, a Christmas song. Kids, then, you metal jerk. Their kids are—they're asking questions, leaving their toys around, and they're asking questions. What a nightmare! What a horror show this guy's trapped in. These kids have questions, and they leave their toys around. Can you believe? Can you believe the agony? Oh, the trade-off is that they're your kids. They got to hear you do Goat Boy all day. Thumbs down, Jim Brewer. Thumbs down. I like you. Liked you in, what did I like you in? Liked you in something. I don't know. This metal song. No piece of the Christmas pie for you. No piece of the Christmas. What's that? What's that? Country? He's going to do country next. Right, Mike? Gotta be doing country next.
Hey, Mike! Mike! Come here! Come here. We're taking the scenic route. Slow boat. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Guess what movie I'm seeing on Hanukkah?
I don't know.
Annie.
My niece already saw it.
Yeah.
And she liked it.
Good stuff?
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
Thanks.
Why don't you try talking into the mic? Works better that way.
Okay.
Yeah. You tilt. You know, here's Mike talking to the mic. Hey, what's up? Yeah. Okay, I'll talk in the side. Maybe it'll kind of catch my, what I'm saying a little bit. Talk into it. You're a broadcaster.
Yes, I am.
It's a broadcast, stupid.
Okay.
What are you doing for Christmas?
I'm going down to my brother's in Manasquan.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Going to drink a cold one?
Yeah, there'll be a few beverages.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Some Coors Light?
Yeah, Coors Light. Sometimes Miller Light. I think they...
Ooh! Exotic!
Exotic, yes. Sometimes they don't have my brand.
Yeah. They don't have... Wait, who doesn't have Coors Light? What store doesn't have Coors Light?
I don't know.
They run out?
Yeah.
The only way they wouldn't have it is you drank it all. Right?
We had a bit of an issue at Masses regarding Coors Light.
Yeah, what's that?
You know, we have to clean the taps every so often, you know. Stuff starts coming through the taps.
Like once a year?
Yeah, yeah.
And, clean out the sludge?
And the taps are controlled by Budweiser. But they allow us to have a couple non-Budweiser beverages in the tap. And so, you know, we asked them to clean out the Coors Light tap. And the guy from Budweiser flat out refused. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. It was almost a bit of a battle over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting, really interesting stuff. You and the guy from Bud guy.
The Bud Coors Light feud.
Look, you don't even have to ask the guy to clean the taps out.
Yeah.
No one notices.
No, they do notice. I notice things floating. They call them floaters.
Suddenly it tastes worse when they clean the taps out.
You get a few floaters in the beer.
Floaters?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mike, that's gross.
It is gross. That's why you got to clean the taps.
I guess so. Mike.
Yeah.
I wrote a song for you.
Oh, no.
For Christmas.
Okay.
It's a lovely Christmas song.
Oh, I bet it is.
To the tune.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the song Feliz Navidad?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I wrote a song to the tune of that.
Okay.
The tribute to you.
All right.
This is loving.
I bet it is.
If I keep saying that over and over, if I say it enough, you'll believe it. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Can you hear it?
Yes, faint.
Well, put the headphones on. They're right over there. Grab the headphones. Sheesh. Sheesh.
Sorry about that, Gary.
I gotta start over. Here we go. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Everybody. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man that okay. I saw staring in my window. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man. He said his name was Santa, but it's AP Mike. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man that I saw digging through my garbage can. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man.
believes that's a man. He might seem weird, but he is really nice. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas on the bottom of my soul. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man that all my neighbors are so scared of. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man. Police, that's the man. Please let him go, because he is my friend. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of our hearts. Me and Mike, good friends. Merry Christmas 2014, AP Mike.
Thank you very much, Gary.
You like that tribute?
That was very nice.
See how it came on your side at the end?
Yeah, you did.
I said you're my friend.
Around. Yeah.
I told the cops you're my friend.
Yeah. You turned the tables on me with the getting stuff out of the garbage can, though.
Yeah. How'd you like that?
Yeah. That was a nice one.
You zung me with that.
Yeah.
You zung your back.
Yeah. Yep. Got me good.
So what do you want for Christmas? What do you want Santa to bring you?
I'm not looking for much. I'm just happy to be back on the best show. That's the best gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me.
It's a good gift.
It is.
Good gift for everyone. They all love you.
Yeah.
They love you, Mike.
They do.
Don't listen to what the haters say. Don't take it to heart. The things they say.
Yeah, all the haters, yeah.
The mean things.
Yeah.
You're stupid.
Yeah. Here we go.
You're cheap.
The litany.
You're weird.
There's a checklist over there, right?
Yeah, they're actually it. Mike.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas!
Thank you, Gary, and Merry Christmas
Let's
to
shake.
You. Yeah, okay.
Merry Christmas shake. Now, Mike, I
yeah.
am going to once again a beat feet.
Okay.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
To just... everyone. My chosen people. I warn you. Can be in the China Garden. On Christmas. See a movie.
Yeah.
China Garden.
I was wondering, as I picked up some Chinese food tonight. And I was wondering, is this the busiest night for Chinese takeout? This my Chinese place was mob. I was wondering if maybe this is the night before Christmas Eve. This is like a jumping off point for takeout. See, I try to engage you, Gary.
What?
Something.
For a second, something. I thought it was on a local finance show.
Something beyond eating.
Community.
Eating out of a garbage can.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's the response I get. Duly noted.
Duly noted.
Duly noted.
All right, Mike. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
to you.
Gary.
Oh, there he goes. He's gone. Like the wind. He likes you.
I think he does.
Besho, you are on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yes, hey. It's Nicholas calling from Brooklyn.
Nicholas from Brooklyn. What's up, Nicholas?
Oh, hey. Oh, I'm sorry, my feed, it must be a few steps behind. I didn't realize that was happening. I was calling, since you opened up back the hate pit, I have a story I've been trying to share with you for a while about Kevin Pollak. If you want to hear it, that will hopefully get him in the hate pit.
You want Kevin Pollak, the star of A Few Good Men and other things, in the hate pit.
Well, more than anything, I just want to share you an indecorous tale about him. And if you want him in the hate pit, then I am all for it.
Let's hear the story. Allegedly. This is allegedly. I don't know what your, you've even axed the grind with this guy. I don't know. Let's hear it.
There were witnesses. Okay. So I used to live in Los Angeles, for a few years, and there's a very great repertory art house theater there on Fairfax called Cine Family. And they do these really great series. And one time when I was living in LA, they did this great, I thought, very clever series. A stand-up comedian, I don't remember his name, put together a show where each night was a double feature, and he asked his stand-up comedian friends to come in and show their favorite comedy film of all time and, like, talk about, like, why, what it meant to them as comics. So I went this one night because it was two of my favorite movies. It was A Modern Romance being presented by Andy Kindler, and Arthur Hiller's The In-Laws, presented by Kevin Pollak. Now,
which
the thing is,
to Kevin Pollak, all he hears when he sees that is Peter Falk impression, Peter Falk impression, Peter Falk impression, Peter Falk impression, right?
Yeah, as I was going to say, if you know the movie, you know exactly what I didn't. I didn't know that Kevin Pollak was a stand-up. I had no idea. I just knew Usual Suspects.
Look, I don't mind Kevin Pollak in acting in movies. I think he's perfectly fine. Did I appreciate the time he hung me out to dry on his own show and claimed I was begging him to be on this show while he was the one asking me to be on it? No, I didn't love that.
That was very unfair of him.
But I don't know. What do I care?
But I didn't know. I didn't think twice about it. I think he's an actor. I don't know a lot of his work. Maybe he's mostly, all I know is Usual Suspects. Maybe mostly he does funny movies, and that's why he's there. So I go, and Andy Kindler was great. I didn't know who he was before, but he was hilarious. But he was also, like, he told this very sincere story showing a Modern Romance by Albert Brooks about how when he first moved to L.A. to New York, it just came out, and it made him feel at home in L.A. And then Kevin Pollak comes on and shows In-Laws, one of my favorite movies. And then he comes out to do his Q&A, and he's doing the impressions. And I don't know from Adam that he does this. And I was very impressed. I loved it. I was like, oh, wow, he's really good.
Good impressionist.
Yeah, I was like, that's really
did he find a way to work Alan Arkin, not Alan Alda?
Oh, shoot. Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. Yes, you're right.
Are we doing?
Yeah.
Serpentine.
So he won.
Right.
He won.
So he's like, did he find a way to work, I wonder what it would be like if, William Shatner was in The In-Laws. Kirk. No, he's Kirk. Spock. Scotty. Beam me down to see The In-Laws. Boop. I didn't do a sound collage tonight.
Oh, no. Am I getting cut off for the sound collage?
No. Why would you
cut
that?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'd rather listen to you. I wouldn't cut you off
for
the sound collage.
Thank you.
It would be disrespectful.
So, no, he doesn't do any of the other impressions, so I don't question it at all. I'm just like, oh, that's really neat that he can do that. So I get home, and before I left, I had said what I was doing on Facebook, and a friend had commented and said, oh, is he going to do his Alan Arkin impression? And I said, oh, my God, he did do one. How did you know that? Mm-hmm. And he was like, schmuck, that's what he does. So I immediately go on YouTube and I Google Kevin Paul. I don't even have to type in like impressions or like Alan Arkin, and immediately just like 18 videos, because those are the only four impressions he ever does, come up. And I'm watching video after video of him doing this. And I felt so fleeced, because I immediately realized he like is really nice movie series. Like I said, Andy Kindler is so earnest, so sincere, picks this movie. And he's using it to, like, do his shtick. I don't even, like, I know everyone likes The In-Laws, but I don't even know if it's his favorite movie. He just picks it to do his shtick. And I felt so, like, cheated.
Get over it. They wanted me to cry for him. Goes to see a thing, and he gets to see a Hollywood star do a thing he does to. He's not doing brand new material for this guy. Thumbs down. I'm throwing you in the hate pit. Find out that guy's name. He's in the hate pit.
make a teardrop. 20-year-old Frankie. He's married, he's got a kid. And he's working in a factory.
I want to get it. Do you want to need it? I'm going to have it. Who's going to have it? Your lady needs to get it. You're going to give it. I need it in the morning. I need it in the evening. I got to get it when I'm on a picnic. And there it is. You know you want to give it up. You got to give it up.
Drift trip through It's a Small World, pretending I was a UN interpreter.
Spring break, spring break.
Is a stardust.
Edward G. Robinson to me was an enormous influence. I just loved the guy. First of all, he looked like all my relatives.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like a demented Santa Claus.
I know what people could, blacks could feel. What he's, I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this. I don't, and yet it's said, it comes through, it fires out of me, and even now in the passion and the that's here as I confront myself.
Moonlight takes flight.
Have puppy dogs.
I want to know if we got any people here tonight that like to get high. We got any people tonight that are high?
Just occurs to me, I don't want to cut this record off, but Chris Dow can't get at me now because I don't have a record coming out, but he can re-review the record and give me a C-.
All right, well, for the sake of this conversation, let's say the book does not exist.
I'm gonna keep trying if you guys keep trying. Let's keep rocking and rolling, man.
Today. One of you jive time turkeys put some ecstasy in it. And now our beloved social studies teacher's out on the dance floor in a man diaper doing a cha-cha slide. Also, if you get shot with an arrow on this holiday, that is not Cupid. There's a hobo with a crossbow out in the parking lot. Think your teachers are students.
I fell in love in the front seat of a 56 Ford at a drive-in movie, sliding over toward a girl in shorts and necking a little on a bench seat, no gear shift in the middle. She was young and eager. It didn't take much to slip her in gear and let out the clutch, but the beautiful bench where we performed our feats has been replaced by two bucket seats. And a brake lever, gear shift, and armrest between me and the girl I love best.
Tom Sharpling, who was the host of the program The Best Show on WFMU, people who are nostalgic for that show, we have a little clip.
How's that? It's the time, yes?
Yeah.
Are we on?
We're good.
We're good.
Well, I didn't ask you. Am I good? You know I'm good.
Let's just get this nightmare underway or over with. Where are we at? Under or over? Whose hair is this on the board? What, did somebody bring a dog in here? Somebody shedding? The Shaggy DA in here? Best show.
And what made it a phenomenon? I'm not sure that that clip convinced me.
Eyes on the prize. That is hilarious.
Why do you think the Eagles are still so popular?
Take it easy, witchy woman, peaceful, easy feeling, desperado, tequila sunrise, already gone, best of my love, one of these nights, lion eyes, take it to the limit, Hotel California, life in the fast lane, new kid in town, I can't tell you why, the long run, heartache tonight.
What's going on with your little Four Loko?
Anybody uses the word little to describe anything is automatically,
Is automatically what, Tom? Is automatically what? What's going on with your pimping out Four Loko? Why?
You're going at me, tough guy. Why don't you come down here? Where are you?
Do not come down here.
I've been in New York City before, pal.
What?
And I'll be in New York City again.
Yeah, why don't you
if you want that.
All right, come on down. I'll beat you within an inch of your life.
Yeah.
I'd prefer if you didn't.
Yeah, I'll knock
you
around.
Hey, Julie.
Don't you talk to her.
Talking to me.
I can talk to her.
She's fantastic. And you know what you are?
How drunk are you?
And she shouldn't be associating with you.
How drunk are you?
Pathetic. 90.
Yeah, you're pathetic. You're pathetic.
What? Pathetic?
Yeah.
Why am I pathetic, man?
You're a sad loser. What's your name?
My name's Steve.
Could you sound more like a cliche of a drunk?
My name is Steve.
Our tit-tit-titas are stalled us.
I've never prayed to you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad. Why we fought or why we died. No. All that matters is that two stood against many. That's what's important. My Lord pleases you, Crom. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge. And if you do not listen, then the hell with you.
You know, when I was in my 20s, I was, bird dogging chicks and getting loaded.
Right.
And these guys are talking about comic books and those collectibles.
Oh, Mike. We're back. That's back. You're back. I'm back. It's all back. Best Show's back. Philly Boy Roy's back. Everybody's back. If you wanted to stay back, like I said, listen to the show. Tweet about the show. Write about the show. Tell people the show's back. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and on RSS, whatever, wherever else you can subscribe to something, you subscribe to it. That's it. Listen, tell people to listen, subscribe. That's all I'm asking for, man. That's all I'm asking for. Is that so much? Best show.
Hey, how's it going? This is Eric from Queens. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Can you hear
Eric
me?
From Queens. I can hear you loud and clear, yeah.
What's Eric. Up, boss?
Not too much. I just wanted to tell the story about Paul Williams.
About Paul Williams?
The singer-songwriter, yeah.
Sure.
What's that?
Sure. I said, sure.
Okay, yeah. So, a year and a half ago, he was the subject of this documentary, and I guess he was doing, like, a press junket at the time, or doing a lot of interviews with people. And during one interview, he was like, well, no, like, you guys don't understand, like, music and acting and being a Muppet is not my real thing. My real thing is writing movies. I wrote a screenplay based on the Wizard of Id comic strip, which is like, you know, it's going to blow everybody's minds, except it never got made because the powers that be were not willing to let it get made.
Uh-huh.
So, I think about that all the time. You know, it's like what, like, wait, what? Like, you're the guy that wrote these beautiful songs, like Barbara Streisand covered, and you're, like, obsessing about the Wizard of Id concert.
It's a big deal. That's what makes great people great sometimes, man. They keep pushing. Sometimes they don't know where it's hit the target. Guy keeps pushing.
Okay, all right. Did you see the documentary, though?
Yeah, I watched half of it.
You watched half of it? You, like, stormed out of the theater because you were so angry?
No, it was on demand, and I forgot to watch the other half of it.
Do you...
Goodbye. I don't like that dude at all. Can you believe this guy wrote all these songs? He tried to write... First of all, this guy's in more movies than most people. This guy was Little Enos in Smokey and the Bandit, for goodness sake. This guy knows his way around a movie set. What's to make them think the guy can't write a movie? Man, put Paul Williams in a box? Don't you put him in a box. You literally could put him in a box, but don't put him in a box. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
My name's John. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina.
What's up, John?
Oh, not much. I wanted to go on a long diatribe about the Brooklyn Queens Expressway.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I thought that was the best Bad Company you've ever done. So.
Well, thank you. I was happy with that one.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah.
What did you really want to talk about?
I just wanted to say I had a really bad year, and I'm just really grateful that you're back. And I mean, you just make my week every week, you know.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's hard. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
But I basically just wanted to say thank you, and I mean, you do such a great job.
Thank you. So you liked when I did that. I finally got one of the bad companies in on somebody. You liked hearing yeah. that goofball step into the trap.
Oh yeah, like, that made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, and like he had the. To me, those things are funny because the guy doesn't even know it's happening. You know what I mean? Like he's off talking about what he's talking about. Has no idea that it's happening. Which.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just kind of what the funny part about it is, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's incredible. And I know, like, you know, there was. Bad company.
I can deny. Oh. Oh. You like that one, Mike? What's that, Mike? Oh, yeah. That was some old-fashioned that's some old-fashioned trickery. I got him. You laugh. You don't know when it's coming back for you, man. Pendulum swings around. Best Show. Oops, sorry. Best Show.
Hey, Tom. It's Chris from Keyboard, New Jersey.
Chris from Keyboard, New Jersey.
Keyport,
not keyboard.
Keyboard's pretty cool.
So what's going on, Chris from Keyboard?
So I have a business in Keyport, and I have an employee from Marlboro, which is a bunch of rich kids.
Okay.
And there's a fart noise.
Best show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Andy Kindler calling in.
It's Andy Kindler.
Yeah, but I'm the new low key Andy Kindler. This is the way I talk.
Good heavens. Well, you sound like you're, sound like somebody slipped you a Mickey.
What, am I underwater now with the phone? My first attempt at humor on the new show falls flat as a pancake.
I love it. The first celebrity to call the show.
Is that true?
We had the first rock star last week. Kurt Vile. Kurt Vile called. Now the first celebrity to call is on the line.
the way you say that.
Yeah.
It means that we're stretching the term.
Yeah. That's exciting. The first celebrity.
I'm sorry I waited so long. I tried
it's
to get
Kayla!
Earlier. Blah, 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 blah.
Kayla!
Uh-oh. What's...
It's Gary!
Who's there? Who's there?
It's Gary!
Gary!
What's up, amigo?
Hey, this is the, I can hear you better now. Have you been taking squirrel diction lessons?
No.
That's my new, I laugh after every joke.
Oh, boy.
No good?
No, I like it. I like it.
You're How's one it of going, my... Gary? What,
you're
what's
good
going
comedian.
On?
You're a good comedian.
That, thank you. Now, I always think a slam's coming when you say that.
No,
you're
going to
give me the old shmup, moopy.
What does... What do Rodney Dangerfield and Andy Kindler have in common?
They're both hilarious comedians who are not respected as much as they should be in their time.
Yeah, okay, sure. But what I was going to say was Rodney Dangerfield didn't get no respect. But when you go see Andy Kindler... The sign out front says no refunds. No refunds. Get it? Get it?
I do. I do get it. I do get it.
Because your show stinks.
No. You shouldn't have. You went too far.
It stinks. Everybody wants their money back.
Oh, come on, Gary. I thought we were just...
I'm busting beans!
I thought you and I didn't have a Kurt Brown vibe.
No. Your show's great. Your show's great. It's all at Union Hall.
That's right. I didn't see you there.
It's off in the corner.
Wow.
I didn't pay.
I didn't know they had rodent seating. Rodent seating. Get it? It's no joke.
Yeah,
that's why I said get it afterwards.
No, I got it. No, I got it. I got it.
Hey, if this segment bombs, who should we blame? Gary the Squirrel or Andy?
Mike! We'll blame Mike.
Mike is always our go-to. Sometimes I feel we shouldn't slam Mike, but then I think it's exactly the way to go.
Yeah, I know. He's a snooze. So what's up, Kindler? What's up?
Well, I got nothing to promote. I just have love for the... I sound like an internet guy. I'm calling with love for the best show. And,
Did you hear... what did you want for Hanukkah?
What's that?
What do you want for Hanukkah?
Well, I actually celebrate Christmas, even though I am Jewish. I didn't get anything for
Hanukkah. I celebrate both!
Do you really?
9 days of presents! 9 days! You know what I'm gonna get you for Christmas?
What's that?
A memo! A memo! Because you didn't get one yet! You didn't get the memo!
I would love to get a memo. That would be a great marketing thing for us. If you sold memos with your face on them, my name in a bigger font than your face on the bottom, Andy Kindler with Gary the Squirrel sitting in.
It's about time. It's about time you got some merch.
I don't have any merch. I have a I have a CD that hasn't been coming out for a year.
I'm really looking forward to your new duct tape.
My new what?
Duct tape.
Oh, no, it's on ADAT, A-D-A-T tape.
What?
Get it? It's an audio joke.
Yeah.
What, is it coming out on beta? What is it, on beta all of a sudden? You're the worst audience in the world, Gary.
It's coming out. No, it's good. Can't wait to hear your material on the bicentennial.
Yeah, what's up with the, what's next, the tricentennial? What would be after that?
It would be next.
Have you heard my Y2K, junk?
Your Y2K junk?
Yeah, Y2K, why not 2K, is all I say.
Oh, boy.
Even as anti-humor, my comedy is no longer working.
Why 2K? Why do I have 2 ears?
That's better. That's better than what I did.
To hear this. Right?
I just want to say, Gary, thanks again for ending my friendship with Bob Odenkirk.
You're welcome.
Over your interview with him.
I guess you'll never be on A Better Call Saul.
I can't even. He stopped sending me holiday cards after that appearance.
Really?
No.
That's what did
I'm making everything.
Trust
that
me.
Implies he was sending me a card.
Trust me, it was a squirrel. I'm the squirrel that broke the camel's back. It was a long time coming. Long time coming. I'm what you call an inciting incident.
What's that? What kind of incident?
Inciting. Just pin it on
inciting.
Me. He'd been waiting to make that move. He was waiting to shuttle you for a long time.
He was stunned by the interview. He couldn't parry with you.
Couldn't do it.
No, he took it very seriously.
Yeah, real serious. He was on the street.
Yeah.
He took it real serious.
He was on the way to a meeting.
He
was on the street.
Sunset La Brea.
Nothing better than someone who's arranged to call in, but then you feel like you're putting in,
Sorry, sir. Sorry, I called you. Oh, wait, you called me.
Yeah, an hour late. Meanwhile, I'm standing in the car dying because I know that my relationship with the best show, with Gary, depended on that.
Yeah, you came through, though. You came through like a champ.
Now I feel bad that the end of this show will somehow be pinned on me. I don't want that. I can't take that right now.
He just ran out of the room, Andy.
Oh, he did?
He just ran out. He's out.
I noticed that Gary never hovers nearby after his...
I thought he went home and he burst in when he heard you.
Hey, I want to tell you one thing. I know you were tight on time, but about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I was enraged last year when Kiss was in, and I blamed, and Questlove, and that other guy who was from, Rage Against the Machine, they had to get Kiss in the hot. That's why they joined the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, to get Kiss in there.
Wait, who didn't do the what?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year, they inducted Kiss, which I thought was the worst thing that's ever happened to America and to the world in general. And it was because Questlove, all of a sudden, was voting. And he liked Kiss when he was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there should be a 12-year-old Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and one for actual adults.
I mean, there is no worse human being in the world than Gene Simmons. He's not acting. That's the way he is. Why would you want to give him any more awards or make him his ego even larger?
I'm not a fan of Gene Simmons. I like his bass playing.
Oh, you do? I didn't know. I'm not aware of that. Is he really good?
He plays, it sounds like, somebody wrote a review once where they said it sounds like Gene Simmons, it sounds like he's wearing boxing gloves when he plays bass.
But his ego, it's not funny, his act. shtick.
No, it's boring. It's boring.
And then Questlove says, oh, when I was 7 years old, I liked this Kiss.
Okay,
I don't know why it enraged me so much, but I did get a response from Questlove on Twitter, which made me very happy.
Yeah. You know what else he liked when he was seven? Fun Dip. Right?
And who's the other guy? Tom Morello? Who is that guy I'm talking about?
Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, he was upset the Kiss was. They were brought in to hip up the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to make it more current and less rock and roll.
Yeah. That's when you know that rock is dead, when it's just like, how are we going to liven this thing up?
But you know what? On that interview with Fallon and Paul McCartney, Fallon, we have to admit, he was on his game. Fallon's on his game.
Fallon, he did the impressions.
He did the impression. Did you see he did a soap opera with Oprah? It was like a fake soap opera. They could barely get through it because Harvey Korman was in Jimmy Fallon's IFB, and he was saying, just start laughing when you run out of things. Just start cracking up. You got nothing, Jimmy? Crack up like you're making fun of it.
Harvey Korman is one of those guys who the second he croaked, everybody was just like, yeah, that guy was not a good guy. Like one of those guys that people couldn't wait till he was gone so they could just kind of say, yeah, that guy was a real jerk.
He did make me laugh, though, but I don't remember anything. A lot of things made me laugh at that age.
Andy.
Yeah, you got
to
go.
The clock on the wall tells me it's time to go.
I know. I'm so sorry for closing weekly. No. I'm sorry for apologizing for my act.
I'm sorry for apologizing. That's...
I'm sorry for apologizing.
You've reached a new frontier.
Low.
You're apologizing.
But I did want to thank you for coming out to Union Hall. That meant so much to me, and it was so much fun. That was a great evening.
That was a triumph. And you know what I decided? Your nickname should be The King. Andy the King Kindler.
All right, I'll take
it. The King. Why not call you The King? Because you were the King that night.
Yeah, I felt good that night. I felt good, so that's why I'm bringing it back now, so anybody that didn't see it can have you at least say it.
Come back to New York and do more stand-up.
I will do that. I may move in with Sam Varela, and we'll get our company going.
Sounds like somebody's coming up with a sitcom.
and Fred from Honolulu will be the next-door neighbor, who's always having a luau and is asking me if I have spare pineapple.
There you go. At least you're not generalizing with anything, though.
Hey, Hawaiians like pineapple. They wear leis on their neck. They are very jolly people. They sing the song about tiny bubbles.
The song about tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles. They hate people from the mainland. Yeah, that part's true.
Yeah, that is true.
All right, Tom.
I do got
to
say, I'm going
to
wrap it up.
Let you go.
Thanks,
I love
buddy.
You.
Love you too.
Thanks
buddy.
For coming back and saving not just Tuesday night, but saving entertainment as we know it. Well, you are the greatest, and I can't even believe it. That's how excited I am.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it. You're not so bad
right,
yourself.
Brother.
Okay, bye. Take these calls real fast and then say goodnight. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, this is David from Australia.
What's up, David? Good morning.
Thank you. I'm not sure how to follow up a Kindler call.
Okay, then you don't. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Candace Douglas.
Candace Douglas, we don't have time this week. We'll be back next week.
Okay.
Thanks for
the call.
All
right, thank you so much. Good night. Bye.
Good night. I'm gonna wrap it up, guys. And I just want to tell everybody, thanks for everything. We're getting it going here. Sorting it out. Getting better every week. So glad you're here with us. Let's spread the word. Let's take the show where it belongs. Right down their teeth. Let's take it right down their teeth, these rats. Right? Let's beat the rats with their own shoes. We're coming for you, rats. You hear us? We're coming for you. Listen. Tell people to listen. Subscribe. That's all I'm asking of you. And seriously, happy holidays. to everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. I appreciate all of you being there for me, and I hope that you are happy that the show's here for you. We will keep doing it. We will be back next week. Again, you go to thebestshow.net. You can buy the Sharpling and Worcester box set over at numerogroup.com. 16 amazing CDs, hardcover book, so many more things. So beautiful. StereoLaughs.com. We got t-shirts for sale. Thank you. Have a great Christmas. And I will see you next week here as we leave you. Enjoy this song by White Fence. Good night.